Right. So, how's things been since the last time we hung out? I think I'm not sure we got much feedback from the end, but how's things been going?
Well, I'll go first. I've been by faith engaging the angels that you saw previously, and I've gotten some witnesses and results. The angel of breakthrough has been released a couple times. And they had a very anointed move of God in the church when he was released. And then I'm in ministry classes, and I was trying to speak to them about, the new move of God and the kingdom of heaven and things. And when I was driving home, I kept seeing these brilliant dark blue flashes. I thought it was the police behind me, and I kept looking. First, it was on left, and it was on the right, then it was above me. So I guess that was my other angel. That's the only thing I can figure. I guess he was excited that I was trying to introduce them to these things. As for being able to talk to them or anything else, I haven't been able to access that yet, but I'm still working on things.
Okay, good, excellent. Very good. In terms of talking to them, they're going to communicate often in the same way that God communicates to you. So sometimes that will be through the small, still voice on the inside of you. Sometimes that will be impressions. Sometimes it will be just thoughts coming to your mind. So, don't try and think, oh, I must see them and I must see them speaking to me for it to be a connection, because you just they'll communicate with you one, in whichever way that you're able to receive it. So don't be too concerned about that. So that's good. Okay.
You remember last time you took us to different places, and in the end, well, almost in the end, you say that each one of us, did receive a different angel. So I was asking the Lord, what angel did I got? I did have like a feeling that I knew already what it was, and it was confirmed when I went to three different meetings and three different churches, and as I was worshiping, I saw angels come and start worshiping, and then I saw like a breakthrough in the worship in the place. The people were really engaging and receiving the presence of God, and they were getting like touch. So the last meeting that I went was in Orlando with Jason Westerfield, and angels were amazing, and they were all dancing around, and I saw like breakthrough even for the church. So that's what I got. The angels that I received were the worshiping angels. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Excellent. Very good. Very good. Okay.
Yeah, I did get additional names for a couple angels, and greeting them and looking for what their mandate or assignment daily. You know how you say you get your daily mandate, and trying to do that. I have been amazed because this mentorship and the lie busting together have just been phenomenal with connecting the dots and fitting the pieces of the puzzle together, bringing back things that have happened. And it really has released a great deal of favor. I mean, I've just stepped into this realm of favor that's even kind of extending the those close to me too. And another thing, and I don't know, the at like us they call it a flak attack, but I noticed too some of the things in general conversation with friends. I mean, they took it like it was prophecy and, just started all kinds of nonsense. And I'm like, what? And, I'm taking it to the Lord, and he started talking about an increase in authority. So sometimes it's perceived that I prophesy. I'm like, I'm just talking. So, that was, that's been strange. It's happened a couple times, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, well, that's good.
I guess. I guess it's good.
Yeah, it's good. But in a sense, what you're doing is creating around you this spiritual atmosphere that other people are, when they're getting close to you, are experiencing and feeling. They may not know what it is, but you are framing the world around you. And so when you go to a somewhere and people get within the sphere that you're creating, they are touching that atmosphere. You know, they may not understand it, but that's what they're touching. So you are starting to administer and bring the rule of God around your life, which is great.
I know the Day of Atonement, the Lord came and was talking about increasing my authority, and it was one of those little arguments, you know, you usually lose with the Lord, you know, because it was like, you know, I haven't been a good steward of what I already have, why are you giving me more? But, yeah, there's a little, sometimes it's, the flack is a little interesting, you know. I reject that, I'm like, I didn't say anything, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we're looking to engaging something new, you know, the enemy will always try and put something in the way if he can. But that's where we need to be on guard and declaring each day from our mountains the favor and the blessing and making sure that we're aware of any schemes that the enemy might have had, you know, so that we can deal with them before, ahead of time, you know. So, no problem with that. Okay, so anything particularly you want to ask today, or?
Yes, I have a question. I hear a teaching you did about taking people to the Satan's trophy room.
Yeah.
So when you were doing that, I engaged with it. And I was going to ask you something. I couldn't engage that much, but one thing that I did engage and I saw was like people there, but they were not people that I know. They were people looking like Chinese, and they were all afraid in the corner. So what I did is I took them out of that room, but I was wondering what really that meant, because I don't know those people. I mean, I just saw those people in there, and they were really like scurrying the corner, and there was a whole family. They looked like Chinese or Oriental looking, and so I didn't understand. I just talked them out, but then I didn't do nothing else. So what that means, I mean, I don't know.
No, I don't know either. A lot of the engagements were, you know, I'm sort of looking to open a door for people to step through. Not everybody is necessarily in the position of maturity in their own lives to necessarily engage in the fullness of it. And so often what I'm looking to do is to open up a door of opportunity, and then that then gives you something to work with later on should you get led by wisdom to go there, or you'll get directed to go to deal with things which are things that have been lost in generations or heritages that have been lost and things like that. And so in a sense, what you can see, people will see different things there depending really on how they're able to engage. So you're seeing a family in the corner hiding, okay, well, and they seem like Oriental. Now, that may indicate several things. One, it could indicate that God's got a purpose for you in bringing those that are in fear and hiding out of hiding into the light, and where they have been, the enemy has robbed them of things, and that's caused them to fear and to doubt and be in unbelief. Then you may find that that's a generic thing, that you come across certain things, or that God gives you a desire to begin to speak into family situations where people are in that type of fear or bondage. It could be that the Oriental side of it, you know, there may be something that God's indicating down the line that you have a will have a heart for a particular nation or people group. You know, there's lots of things that you can come out. If you don't get clarity of it, what I would encourage you to do, if you feel it's important that you know, and there's an urgency about, well, I want to know what that is, and my heart is really wanting to know, then go and meditate back around it and ask for revelation directly from God. You know, what were you trying to show me? What was that about? And then go with that. If you don't feel any sense of urgency, then just put it on the back burner and ponder it. You know, keep it, journal it, keep it in mind, but God will bring it back to mind when you need to know and when you need to engage. You know, so sometimes we do get to see things ahead of time, and we get several things often then line up, and eventually we get to engage in something that then, oh yeah, I had that, or that happened then, I remember, they all come together. God was trying to lead me in a particular direction. So I wouldn't be too concerned. You know, not everybody is at the stage where they'll fully understand everything. You know, I've taken people to a few places recently where, you know, I felt authorized to do it, but I know it was going to be a stretch and pretty intense for some people to engage there. But, you know, you have to go with that, and people's level of engagement will be different. And ultimately, you can always go back. You know, you can always go back and take another look or engage more to find out something more about it. You know, a lot of these exercises are really just to open up the realms of possibility for people. Then people then go with where their spirit directs them to pursue, you know, and some people won't. You know, I think last time we went out into the stars and things like that, well, you know, that is something which ultimately our spirit will engage with in birthing things and bringing things to birth, but it may be a fair way ahead. But you just get an advanced preview of the experience, which later on, you know, will become more clear when the timings are right on things. So, yeah. Okay. Anyone else got a question or anything?
I have one more.
Okay.
If nobody else does.
Well,
nobody else does.
Well, carry on. You're on there now, so.
Okay. Okay. I have another question. I did too. The one with going to the court of accusations. That was really good, actually. When I hear that one, that really helped me. So thank you for that one. I went to the court of accusation, and I went there representing family members. I did in the night, like you say. And then after that, I went to my mountain and I started speaking over them so the spirit can communicate to them. So my question is like, if I need to do this more than once, or once is enough?
Okay. Normally what happens is dependent on whether it's for you personally or whether it's for those that you are associated with or have some sort of authority in that area, family or workplace or things. And if it's for you personally, often it's associated with familiar spirits that when we deal with them don't always want to give up immediately because they've been assigned as familiars to our family lines or to us, and that's their role. And so when we challenge them by getting a court order or divorce papers to separate from certain mindsets, behavioral patterns, we have to enforce that separation. You know, you can go and get a restraining order on somebody in a natural court, And they will be breaking the law if they come anywhere within, let's say, 100 yards of you, 100 meters of you, or something like that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that person will comply with the restraining order. They may break the law and come closer. And so sometimes then, if they did, you would phone the police, and the police would come, and they would essentially put them in jail until they were dealt with because they've broken the law. So when you get a mandate, you have to enforce it. And particularly with familiar spirits and mindsets and thinking patterns, they will try and continue along the same route that they've always got you to travel down in thinking and patterns of thinking and behavior. And so you have to take captive those thoughts. If they don't immediately go, they will often come from the outside rather than the inside because you've expelled them from within, but they still will try and get you to think. And as soon as you start thinking in a certain pattern, then usually a behavioral cycle will kick in and you'll end up going down that behavioral cycle because you've not taken captive the thought quick enough. When that happened with me, I immediately just took them back into the court and released the judgment of God. I didn't need to get anything, any court orders. If I found that I'd gone down the pattern of thinking, then I needed to confess that and repent of it. But I then just choose to release the judgment of God against them. And they don't like that. And that after a while, they will not plague you anymore. And there were certain patterns of thinking and behavior that I had over many years that I thought I dealt with, and then a few months later it would come back, and it was, why, you know. And I no longer have those at all. You know, they have gone, they don't come back. I have overcome them because of the authority that I was given and the judgment of God which was released against them, you know. So in your own life, sometimes you have to reinforce the order that you've received. In someone else's life, it can be slightly different because you're standing in identification on their behalf, and your desire is that they would come into agreement with that which is aligned with God's purpose and will for their lives. And if they aren't in agreement, then you have to continue releasing forgiveness to them and continue to pray and declare the light that will come on into their lives, different things that so that they will come into harmony with God. And ultimately, everyone's got free will and purpose, so you can't force people. But you can exercise authority, and that would mean you could use the keys of the kingdom, so you could bind people to the will and purpose of God for their lives, because you know that's God's best for them. You can't bind people to what you think that they should do, because that's control. And we're not out to administer control, we're out to administer authority. And so we have to be very careful that in how we deal with other people in the judicial system, we don't step over the line in trying to control their lives, but we're wanting to release the favor and blessing of God into their lives so that they will come into alignment and agreement with God's purpose for them. And so I think it is slightly different when you're administering things from that perspective, and you may well have to be persistent because they may keep giving the enemy access. You know, if they keep following a pattern of sin and behavior, then the enemy will have legal access to operate through that. And so all you can do is be persistent and maintain your authority, but ultimately they're going to have to surrender to that themselves. And ultimately they're going to have to repent, and they're going to have to renounce what they've done to come into the fullness of God's forgiveness and blessing for them. So don't give up, but you just have to administer things slightly differently, where you have authority over your own life and the level of authority you have to bless, because that's the authority you have, is to release blessing and favor over somebody, not to control them. You can't control them, otherwise you'll then end up trading on the wrong platform, and the enemy will use that negatively. Okay?
Mike, recently I had a couple of requests to take people into the courts. I have not, you know, haven't done it before. I mean, I've been in small home groups where we've all gone up and things like that, but just specific requests, can you lead me into the court? Have you, you know, how far do you go? I mean, what do? I mean, you just open it up and, you know, you kind of like step back, right, and let them engage. And, I mean, I'm not sure what.
What you can do is you can model something.
Okay.
So you can model something for yourself. So you can say, okay, let's step into the court. I'm going to step in and I'm going to show you the protocol. So the language in terms of, you know, being covered by the blood of Jesus, covered by his word, acknowledging the robes of righteousness, acknowledging accusations, and then putting your hands up and coming into agreement, not arguing, not trying to fight it, but agreeing. So you can model it. And in a sense, you can do something similar to lie busting, in that you could say, okay, we're going to step into the court right now. So by faith, this is the place where the Father is on the throne. Now, he's there and as my judge. Jesus is there as my advocate, but I'm going to demand anything that's accusing me, that has an accusation against me, to come and stand in this court. And then you're going to say to them, okay, what can you hear that is an accusation? And just ask them to engage in the same sort of way, you know, what is the accusation? Now, they may well be, if their imagination is active, they may well be able to picture the court scene and engage in it. They may just have a thought or an impression that comes. So you just give people liberty to feel or to receive something. And then when they've received something, then you can say, okay, now you've received that accusation. Do you think that's true? Well, no, I can't think. Okay, do you think it could be true in your generational line? Well, yeah. Okay, so let's just go back and now ask, what generation did that accusation come from? And demand to hear the generation. And in the same way that you're asking God to deal with certain things, you can do the same way in that process. And then just lead them through the prayer. Okay, you know, if you're willing to stand in identification for that accusation on your family line, will you acknowledge and repent on their behalf, forgive them for what they've done, release them from the effect that it's had in your generational line, then it's okay. Receive the judgment of God that he pronounces you and your generational line not guilty and cleansed. Then the access of the enemy has been closed. Now the judgment of God is going to be released. You're going to get separation papers. You know, so what is it that you're going to be free from? Ask God to show you what he has given you in authority. So very similar processes that we can go through, just focusing on helping the person to hear from themselves rather than telling somebody what you've heard for them. Now, if they cannot hear anything, then I think it's probably is legitimate to potentially say, okay, well, this is what I feel God has shown me. Do you think that is true? Are you willing to engage with that? So there's different ways you can do it, but ultimately, ideally, you want a person to hear for themselves, and then you just help facilitate them through the process. You know, that's how I would help lead someone in that, or help them to engage initially. You know, and you can do it with a group. You know, I've done it with a large group, saying, right now we're going to do this, but you're just going to step in. If you know there's an accusation already against you and you're struggling in a particular area, well, then take that struggle and demand to hear why the enemy's got a legal right to cause that in your life. And then you can get a whole room doing that with all different things, but they're engaging and they're hearing, and then you just, again, lead them through the prayer to help them engage and outwork it. I've seen it work really effectively with groups of people as well as individuals. So, you know, I don't think it would be too difficult to do it. But, you know, use a similar thing to live busing, I would say, on it. Okay.
Yeah, that is how similar live busing.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. That's
interesting, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's just the difference in doing it in that way is that you're getting a judicial authority to ongoingly deal with what that is. Whereas the live busting is looking to deal with how it's affected you and the way in which it may have damaged you emotionally or hurt you in any way or created a belief system or a lie that you've believed, that you deal with the lie, and then you're free from the lie. But if you then have a order that you can enforce, then that just gives you another step, really. And so a lot of people on the lie-busting things won't ever have necessarily engaged in heaven or stepped into their at will, and so it's a step that gives people a baseline to work with. And then you can take it to a different level once, you know, you can operate in the realms of heaven and then you can administer authority differently from there. But it all works together. A lot of these things work together.
Yeah, light bulb just went on. Light bulb just went on. Yeah.
Good. Okay. All right. Okay. Anything else? Got anything, Rebecca?
No, sir. I'm still learning.
Okay, that's all good. Okay. All right, so what else do you want to do today then? Is there anything else you want to do? Any other sort of exercise or?
I love doing the activations.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, there's an activation we can do, which will take it another level in terms of engaging your scroll and your destiny, and if you're up for it, it'll be going to the judgment seat and engaging your scroll with the fire of God. If you're up for that. Okay, it can be a bit intense, but it's a really good thing for moving things forward, so that we can engage and go forward with it. But first of all, we'll just go to the presence of God around the ark, and we'll just get a mandate in our own heart for that, so that you feel comfortable to go, and you know then we'll go a couple of places that help us get to that place, and it'll be good. So again, I just encourage you to just close your eyes and just fix your thoughts on Jesus, that you stand under an open heaven, that you have a right to step in through the doorway that Jesus invites you to come to meet with him in the realm of heaven. So just step in through that realm. Just allow him to be your guide on this journey. So just let him take you by the hand. And he'll just take you through the veils so that we can just come into his presence, around the ark of his presence. So just begin to think about his name, the Yod, He, Vav, He of his name, that you're in him, that as you take your place to look into his will and purpose around the ark, just begin to open your heart there. Just open up your heart, allow him to draw on the desires of your heart. You can just step into him, into the center of his will and purpose for you. Sense his love, his grace and mercy. Just let a revelation of who he is, the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. Just allow him to just give you a mandate for this journey, that you can engage with him around his judgment seat. Just sense his love. His total forgiveness and cleansing. Sense the righteousness in which you stand. You stand as the righteousness of God, your life hidden with Christ in God. You're in him, surrounded by him. Just let that touch you. Let it touch every part of you, your thinking, your emotions, your spirit, soul, body. Just allow his forgiveness, being cleansed, being righteous, and just surrender your heart to him as a living sacrifice again today. Open up your heart, surrender it. Now just let Jesus again just take you by the hand. He's going to take you through the doorway on the heights to his throne of grace. And as you now stand before his throne of grace, just sense how he feels about you. Sense how precious you are. You're the apple of his eye. Just sense his love, the desire of his heart for you. As he reaches down, he places you on his lap. Just sense his heartbeat, his pleasure at your presence, that you will receive grace and mercy to come before him, before his judgment, carrying revelation of his love, revelation of his mercy, revelation of your forgiveness and your righteousness in him. Just rest there with him on his throne of grace. Just sense that there's no fear. Perfect love casts out fear. All fear of judgment just leaves as love floods you, floods your heart, floods your mind, floods your soul. Just let the heart of God's love just flow over you. Now, before that throne is the spirit of the fear of God, one of the seven spirits of God, who has your scroll, the scroll of your life, sealed front and back. And he just leads you now to come before the place of judgment, and before you is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And you can place your hands on his head and just know that he has taken all your sin in himself as your sacrifice on the cross. Again, just sense his love, forgiveness, peace. No fear, no condemnation, no guilt. All transferred onto him. Now just receive your scroll from the spirit of the fear of God. And you can now walk in to the lion, walk into the darkness. And as you walk towards his fiery presence, you stand before the pillar of fire, the eyes of fire, looking at you, but you stand without fear, with your scroll, worthy is the Lion of the tribe of Judah to unlock the seals of your scroll. You stand before him who knows all in all, everything about your life. As you stand, surrender your heart to him afresh and just see your scroll opened up before you. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Those things in your life of obedience and sacrifice and worship that within your scroll brought pleasure to the heart of God. You may feel the memories of some of those things coming back and the pleasure that he had with your obedience. Just feel the joy of his heart for you. But then on the scroll there is the wood, the hay, the stubble, those things in your life that were done out of a wrong desire, out of something which met your own need to make you feel better about yourself, looking for position or acknowledgement, looking to reconcile something in your own heart. Just allow those things to be unveiled before you. And let the fire from his eyes consume each memory, each record that's been recorded on this scroll. As the fire comes, burning and consuming, consuming your heart, as you open yourself up to stand in his fiery presence, let your whole life be consumed with fire. Let your heart be touched, and let the fire of God come around you. As you begin to let the fire purge, refine, purify every memory that's been recorded on your scroll. Feel its cleansing, its purging, its refining. Your scroll renewed, restored, ready to come into alignment with your destiny, ready for more gold, silver, and precious stones to be imparted. Just let that fire consume. Now just turn the scroll, reveal that which is on the back side of the scroll. Every missed opportunity, every thing where you didn't hear, where you didn't see, where you didn't obey quick enough, every regret, that would bring tears. Just allow those memories to come. Again, there's gold, silver, and precious stones here. For each opportunity that you accepted, each responsibility that you received, that brings pleasure and joy to God. Just allow the memories to come and allow the fire again to come around you. The fire that comes from his eyes, that consumes, purifies, refines each memory, each regret, that restores you, makes you whole. Just embrace the fire of his presence. Let your scroll be purified and refined. Just sense how heart, your heart is becoming pure. Purity of it. The capacity of your heart increased. That you have the capacity for enlargement, for expansion, more room. To receive those things from God. Now just back out from that place. Just take steps backward from the fire. As you come out, before you is the lamb and the lion. Just sense, as the lion looks at you, sense your freedom. Sense the new expansion in your being able to perceive, to feel, to hear, to taste, to touch the things of God. Just feel the freedom. Feel like dancing before him, expressing your joy and freedom to him as he just looks on with joy, with pleasure, with love, with desire for you. Just sense his desire for you. Everything has just got bigger. You can contain more revelation, more knowledge, more wisdom, more understanding, more counsel, more might. Just sense the freedom. Now you can just lie down and rest on him, coming as a little child to find security, peace, rest, the shalom of God, as you rest on him, as you sense the tranquility within your heart and life. Just allow that just to wash over you like waves of peace and rest. Just sense your destiny and your scroll being unveiled to your heart, the desires of your heart, just aligning with the sound and the frequency and the fragrance of your scroll. So that from that place of rest, just let your destiny flow around you. Feel the scrolls open. His desire for you. Just sense eternity. The scrolls come out of eternity. The scroll will go back into eternity. This scroll will be transcribed onto the scroll of your life, so they come into agreement and harmony and release blessing and authority and a power through you. Just sense who you were before you are now in eternity. This sense who you were within the heart of God in eternity, his vast sum of his thoughts for you. Just see the depth of those thoughts, the wondrous things of his desire for you from his heart. Just feel what it's like to be within his heart. Feel again what it's like to be in his name, be in him, contained within him from eternity. Sense your eternal destiny flowing through you. Just allow that which you've had imparted to you, that revelation, to resonate within your spirit, touching each and every part of you, calling you, aligning you with your eternal destiny and purpose, and with the thoughts that he has within his heart for you. And just bring that from that place, and just begin to draw back through the veils. As you step back into this realm, taking with you and bringing with you that which you've received. All right, okay. So, how did you get on with that? If you want to share anything, feel free. If you still want to ponder that, then that's fine. No one want to share? That's okay. All right.